Be comfortable.
Any subjects that anyone's interested in tonight?
Don't look at me.
I was. Anything dealing with spiritual, supernatural phenomena. That should cover the gamut.
Wrong.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I'm speaking.
Where?
MacArthur Park at the museum. 3 p.m. It's the Phenomena Expo. I always go by the seat of my pants. It's going to be basically about ghosts and phenomena. I'm going to open it up for people and ask questions. I think I get more out of it, and so does everybody else. So it should be fun. Yeah, that should work. That's true. I people from that, so it should be fun. Any topics, folks? I need. Hey, Steve. If you truly want to manifest, you need to speak it aloud. You need to have a goal, and you need to make sure that it's to the highest good and with all involved, and that it come harmlessly. That should get it. Okay. Oh, okay. It's egg, a silver egg, silver on the outside, white light on the energy, on the inside, gives you protection. You can ask the Band of Mercy to put a silver egg around you, of protection, and it'll last for 12 hours, and then you have to redo it if you want for an extended period of time. It's kind of fun to work with, in that you can do it even if you don't need protection necessarily. You can ask that a egg of white light be placed around you, not necessarily mirrored on the outside, white light, and you can walk into a room with a lot of people and they'll take notice of you. That white light radiates. And then you can ask that you be placed in a golden bubble and walk into the same room and no one will look at you. The golden bubble makes you not invisible, but it makes people not take notice of you, like ignore you, which is kind of cool. So they're kind of fun to play with. If you're in a situation, I was in Chicago and I was walking from one place to another at night. And it was kind of spooky and there wasn't a lot of traffic. And I heard like a lot of male voices. So I put around me a golden bubble of what I like to call invisibility. It doesn't make you invisible, but it does make people just kind of not look at you. It's really weird. And it gave me that protection that I needed. I had another situation where I had a lady come to my house that she had come to me several times along with her kind of live-in boyfriend. And he had beaten her, and she came to my house for help. And I put the globe of golden bubble around the house, and he couldn't find the house. So it's good protection. It's a good thing to know and to use. The silver egg it will protect you from anything negative out there, and people that send you a lot of real negative energies, a way of thought forms, that sort of thing. Yes, always. Either way, it's all right. Yeah. You can also use the golden bubble with someone that's going to try to hurt themselves.
You can place it around them?
Yeah. Apparently not. I had a situation where a young man called me. Now, mind you, he worked for the state mental hospital. And he was going to commit suicide. And I said to him, I said, this is not what you need to be doing. He said, well, I'm going to commit suicide. I can't help it. So I put the golden bubble around him. And he called me back. He said, I can't touch anything. I can't pick up anything. What's going on?
So, wasn't he kind of asking for help, though, when he called the bullshit?
Kind of, yeah.
And would the egg work when you don't have your familiar bracelet on?
Yes, it would work. Mm-hmm. Francis? No. I know this is going to sound really strange, but can you tape on the sink and in bathtub where the pipes come in? Not the faucet, but yeah, that's where the bugs are coming from. Thank you. Sorry. They like it here too. From past experience. Yeah, primarily. And
we've just learned not to ask.
Well, Carol keeps telling me I don't think like anybody. No.
They are all around. At least everyone else is seeing them tonight. It's not just me.
I don't. Want to come up here? Are they attacking you?
It's Teresa. They like her.
I'm doing fine. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, Francis, I guess we're going to have to. Hi, Gay. Hi. We need some more chairs. Yeah, we've got these two right here. I bet you you could move that one up here.
Okay,
or.
Great.
Up there? We're good. Thank you, my dear.
That'll work. Oh, Liz, I love you.
I love you more, but I'm good. I've decided I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut.
No!
Not tonight.
No!
If it's a dry room.
I need subject matter.
Subject matter.
Well, I need to know what you guys want to know and want to learn about.
That's actually a very good subject.
Perfect subject.
Yes.
Okay. That works for me. Of course, I divorced my family years ago, but not a problem.
Well, that would be good to talk about, perhaps.
All right, how do you get along with family? You stay out of their business, A number one. You don't give them too much information about your business, number two. Okay? That way, they have nothing they can come back on you with. You do not give them advice unless they ask for it. And when you do give them advice, you make certain that you understand that they probably won't take it. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You respect their right to be wrong in your eyes, always. And you respect their right to make bad or poor choices, because that's what they need to learn their lesson, maybe. Okay? Say no. It's really easy. You say no. Though I hate to tell you this, but if you truly mean the word no, it will stop. If you don't totally mean the word no, it will continue.
So
bottom line.
You shouldn't feel guilty with anybody.
You shouldn't feel guilty with anybody.
Not when they're talking.
No, with anybody. We all need to learn boundaries for us to be healthy, whole human beings. We have to develop and learn boundaries and put boundaries into place. That helps you, and believe it or not, it helps them, because when you don't say no and you don't have a boundary, you are enabling them. You're doing no. I truly say the word no. It's no. I don't have any comeback. I don't have any hassle. I have no problem. But you have to mean it. You can't go, no. That's because you still have, you're still like the envelope. They're still pushing on the envelope. You haven't made a solid no. You don't mean it. You want to mean it, but you don't mean it.
Okay, so how can we work on that?
Yeah.
That's one of my things, too.
It just happens.
It does. I think you have
to. Is that
to,
part of our lesson? To learn to say no?
It is your lesson. It's not part. Is your lesson. That's your choice.
Sometimes, just like for example, when you're not expecting company shows up at your home and forces themselves in there, and it's like, it doesn't matter, whatever reason whatsoever.
Do they have guns?
No, they don't have guns.
Then how can they force themselves in?
They just open the door and walk in.
Why do you have it open? Why do you have it unlocked?
Now, I mean anybody from children, grandchildren, anything, okay? And I feel that I'm not doing my job if I tell my family no.
There you go. You just answered your question.
So now I'm going to learn how to look at someone and say no and walk away and slam the door.
It's hard to.
No. No, stop. You got a gun?
No.
Okay. You set boundaries. You say to the family, this is the hours you can call me. If you're going to come to my house, you let me know and find out if it's okay. You do not walk into my house without knocking. I now tell you I want respect and I mean it. You're going to have set boundaries, okay? And then you're going to have to abide by those boundaries consistently. You have to train them. No, you have to train anybody that you're around. When I first started out being a professional psychic, I worked out of my house. And people would show up on my doorstep going, I need help. I had them show up on Christmas Day. I need help. I didn't know how to say the word no. I felt like I was in service and that my responsibility was not to me, but it was to whomever. I had to learn that I had to set up boundaries for myself. I had to protect myself. I had to say the word no. And then it extended to my group that I was working with. I'm sorry, unless you have an emergency, do not call me. And it better be death on your doorstep. And I had to do it that way. I had to go hardcore because I had gone too much the other way. If you're going to do it all the way. But don't. If you feel guilty about it, they will feel that you're feeling guilty and push it. Now, how do you do these things? You make a, quote, decision. And it usually means that you're so burned out that you have no other choice than to make the decision. Yes. But I promise you, once you've done it, you'll go, my God, why didn't I do this earlier? You've got to stick with it. You can't slide. No. We're not going to get into a whole thing of. Okay. Any questions on that? The family part of it. I never had that problem. But if you expect the problem, you'll have it. What I found was when I said the word no to people, they went, okay, and they went and found somebody else. I didn't expect them to turn on me or to badmouth me or any of those. Had I expected that, so that's probably what I would have gotten. Okay.
But before we do,
you had a great question about will the golden bubble work in that kind of situation?
It can to a degree, but the basic lesson is for you to learn to say the word no. Sorry, you can't escape. Yeah. exactly. Steve, was that you back there?
Yeah, I just wanted to add.
Okay. Boy. That's for sure. Yeah, they were using you. Absolutely. Thank you. Hang on. Had a client, lovely woman, has had heart surgery 29 times. And she's still alive. God bless her. Her two daughters found out that the weakness were the grandchildren. Okay? And that if she didn't abide by exactly what they said, they would pull away the grandchildren and wouldn't let her see the grandchildren. Now, guess what I told her to do? That's right. I told her to tell them, I'm done. You take the grandbabies. I'm not babysitting for you anymore under any circumstances. I will not tolerate this anymore under any circumstances. Now, they took the grandchildren away for about 2 weeks. What she didn't know and what I tried to advise her was she actually held the cards in her hand. And they came back and they said, can you please, for maybe an hour? I told her, I said, when they bring the babies back, and they will, because they need your help, you're a free sitter, you tell them, yes, but this is what I want. She got the grandkids back. Actually, her heart got better after that. Yeah. She was not going to live very long. When she came to see me, she had had 29 open heart surgeries. She had more than anybody in the state. 29. God bless her. And she's, like I said, she's still alive. But if you want to work with your family, you're going to have to flip the tables on them. Stop. Guilt is from the dark side. Conscience is from God. Guilt is the manipulator. It manipulates you and makes you dance to its tune. Conscience tells you this was a mistake. It doesn't haunt you. It doesn't vex you. The dark side haunts you and vexes you with guilt. Guilt vexes you. It gnaws at you. It eats at you. It makes you feel bad. That bad feeling in the pit of your stomach. That's guilt. Conscience goes, oops, I think I just made a mistake. And it doesn't keep coming and coming and coming.
Because you know. Yeah.
Well, even if you don't, it's still, that's how it works. Well, it's like this. You have to make a decision that from this day forth, I'm not going to deal with guilt. If you lay a guilt trip on me, that's your problem. It's not mine. That's because it's from the dark side.
Exactly.
It's evil. Guilt is evil. Conscience is good. Conscience means you know you messed up. If that's a mistake. Guilt manipulates. So do you really want to take on guilt? There's your answer. That's how you deal with your family. That's how you deal with friends. That's how you deal with people. Me too.
Yeah. You can cook your own, though. And I would just go, oh, my gosh, the numbers I was taking care of me, and I got to do this for her. And I was just flat worn out cooking all the time and working all the time. And so I started sort of exercising some of this knowledge you gave me, and I'll take her a pimento cheese sandwich, and she'll just look at me and give me that mother guilt look, and I'll just walk out of her smiling. It's so freeing.
It is. It really is. And by the way, Bertolli makes a really good skillet gourmet meal. And they have them in singles now.
Oh,
Stouffer's and Bertolli. Bertolli's
like
excellent.
Bertolli.
Yeah.
I could do that if I put it in a plate.
Well, of course.
Frozen dinner.
You know, and you put a little parsley or whatever. Sure. Yeah.
Parmesan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
not a problem.
She has tapioca pudding. She loves it. So I get the jello, and then I have to put extra sugar, extra milk, and vanilla in it before she'll eat it. She's a queen. But I love her.
Oh, God. It's such a waste. It really is. I do not do guilt trips. My daughter, every once in a while, she'll sneak one in on me.
Oh, that's kind of reverse. But it's the mother that was.
I don't do guilt trips. I don't give them. You know, I just don't do them. So she'll say something, you know, throw a guilt trip on me, and I'll go, Rebecca, honey, I love you. I don't do guilt trips. Remember, I'm your mother. You remember me? Oh, all right.
I have a question. When you're, well, you don't, when somebody fished your koi out of your pond and you figured you knew who it was, how did you not just, like, want revenge?
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 Yeah. This is a good, really. I love my koi. I wouldn't really. I would want to, maybe.
That's just come out of the closet or something.
Yeah, I think maybe we need to do anger management tonight.
Maybe so.
That might be okay. Really,
just
what did you just kind of kept walking and you didn't really.
I mean,
all right.
Some of us
can. Okay. I am not going to tell you that I never had revenge. Okay? I had an ex-husband. At the time, he was not an ex-husband. That did some really crappy things. And then one day, over a card game, he slapped me. Really hard. So I said, tomorrow I wish for you a broken leg. He got a broken leg the next day.
Okay.
Now, I have learned that I don't need to be doing revenge.
No.
I have learned through my clients that revenge eats your lunch. It doesn't do very much to them.
So
unless you can wish a broken leg on them.
I understand. I understand.
I understand.
I don't say take my fish. I don't say take my air conditioner either.
Exactly. That's what would upset me.
But I'm here to tell you that I know that what's done is done, and there's a reason why everything happens. And I recognize there are synchronicities there that maybe I don't need to be jumping in the middle of, okay? And I know that by me getting all personally involved and upset, it's not going to affect them. It's going to harm me. It's like taking a cup of poison and drinking it, and that's just stupid. So I'm not going to hurt me over what they did that I got upset over, okay? You can ask for divine spirits of justice to intercede for you. In whatever ways are deemed appropriate in the name of Jesus Christ. Spiritually, there are things that you can do. I think that would be more appropriate if there has been an injustice done. Okay? Remember?
I said, I told her it worked on Dan. It took about a year, but he...
No, it didn't. It worked the next day. That was for egregious acts. Yeah, that's yeah. It's stupid. It's just absolutely stupid. Yes. You had it and it went poof.
It'll come back.
It's okay. You're okay. No problem. Jealousy. You can ask for the Archangel Michael and his legions to remove all demons of jealousy from you now in the name of Jesus Christ and place them into protected sanctuary. Yes. Yes. You, some of these things you have to learn and you have to speak them aloud. Because it's your lesson to learn. You have to be conscious of that. Yes. Yes. Because you have claimed them as yours. You have them now? I would please ask for the Archangel Michael and his legions to remove all demons of jealousy now in the name of Jesus Christ and place them into protected sanctuary. And I thank thee. How do you feel? Get a little wispy? Yeah. What do they work on? Insecurity. And if you've been abandoned, they'll work on the abandonment. And they'll work on any insecurity or any fears that you have. All angers, jealousies, resentment, revenge comes out of fear. Yours too, Beth.
So can you ask the Archangel Michael to help remove
your
fear?
You need to recognize your fear, the base of fear. Yes. Yes. Everyone that you really, really loved was taken from you. There was fear there. Fear of being alone, and then fear of being manipulated or controlled. So it comes into play for you. that's what you believe, and that's what you bring forth for you. That's what you bring into your consciousness. You are absolutely manifesting. Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Excuse me, whose brain is that? Well, then fix it.
I remember in my 20s, I was so depressed, and I would just be driving in the car, like the Little Rock Cut Princess, and I would just have a negative thought, and I would scream out loud as I could in the car, "Stop it!"
Good.
And eventually, it went away.
Did you have where they said, "Why don't you just run off the side of the road?" Hello, that's a favorite one. They love that one. That's the dark side. They're talking in their head, in your head. They're going, "Hey, see that bridge over there? Just take it. Take your car over it. See that over there? Just ride. Just go ahead and drive your car right on through it." That's dark side. I'm going to ask a question. Has anybody here not had the thought?
What?
Doing bad things to self. Harming yourself. When things didn't go right. You're hearing it here. All right? What's in here is telling you don't be stupid. That's the good part of you. This is the bad part of you. This is the strength. This is the weakness. You're all right? When that happens, you command them away in the name of Jesus Christ. And you take authority. This is my body. This is my brain. I command you to leave me alone now in the name of Jesus Christ. You got it? Yeah. You're going to be doing that a lot, by the way.
It will retrain them, though.
Yeah. It does work.
I really didn't know what to do about that.
Sure.
I
know.
When you're in 20s, and it's like all the time, "Oh, take that knife right there."
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't have that.
You know what you could do with that?
But that's not the way out.
But it's not. Because when you do actually do that, you're bound. And you're bound into service very often to the dark side. No, you don't want to do that. No, it's not the easy way.
So is it?
You get bound to the earth plane. When you commit suicide, you get bound to the earth plane. You're bound into whatever pain you are in mentally, emotionally, physically. And if you actually commit suicide because the voices tell you to, you get bound into service to the dark side, to where you can be put onto somebody else for them to commit suicide. Spiritual age of consent is 13. If a child commits suicide prior to the age of 13, they can be taken into the light. They can't be bound into service.
So even if you had a loved one here, they couldn't send a suicide into the light?
And you pray a suicide into
the
light?
Of course you can.
Oh, I thought what you said.
No, of course you can. Wrong. But now if somebody knowingly commit suicide because the voices tell them to, they can be bound into service, which means they can be put on somebody else to get them to commit suicide. Yes.
But we can still pray.
Yes. Always.
I've always heard that
It is a version of hell. But
are you stuck here?
Yes.
If you do that?
Yes.
You're stuck on earth.
Yes. But that's a hell. That is truly a hell. To be stuck into pain, emotional pain, physical pain, the emotional misery that you're trying to get out of, and then you find yourself perpetually there, and you have absolutely no help.
Do you think that's why a lot of spirits are still trapped on earth? Or that's why ghosts?
No, you can use the word ghost if you want to, but you had that's a human
that's
soul. People get trapped here because they are ignorant as to what to do when they physically lose their body. They're trapped here by their belief systems or lack of belief systems, fear, various things. Those that commit suicide are bound because they have broken spiritual law, the law of self-murder. You don't have the right to murder yourself, okay? So, there are numerous reasons for people to get bound to this earth plane. Yes? I'll tell you what I found out. I would have thought, and I really believed, because I didn't have the knowledge, that if you were in terminal state of like a terminal cancer or something terrible like that, that you could euthanize or be euthanized yourself. Kind of like when you take the dog to the vet and they're terminal, they euthanize them. And I thought that that would be something that would be allowed. Well, a client came to see me and she handed me a picture of a friend of hers that had been euthanized by a doctor 5 years previously. And when I touched his picture, he leaped into my body and he begged her for help. And she had to get the other lady that was working here at the time to come in because he had taken me completely over and he said that he was in constant pain. He thought he was going to get out of the pain, which was kidney disease, by doing a suicide, a medical assisted suicide, and that he was wrong, that he still broke spiritual law, and could we please help him. Could we please help him? And so we got him into the light, thank God, because I was dying over here.
How did that happen? Were you not protected?
I do it all the time.
But
I have protection. That's what I'm saying. He was dying. He asked for, his doctor gave him medical assistance. Euthanizing him. That's fine. That's fine. You can do that. You can die naturally, but you can refuse treatment, but you cannot medically be euthanized. It is considered suicide. Yes.
You can refuse, but not help.
Yes. Yes. No, you ask for the pain to be relieved from the pain. You can't go before your time. Hang on. are you asking? He could still be earthbound. Most people, when you leave your physical body, you don't have a clue that you're dead. You're alive and well.
Even if you know you're dying and then you die?
No.
That is just so messed
up. I told you. Lean on your table.
Well,
every morning, lean on your table if you go through it.
Oh. Oh.
That's it. That's it. Al. That's kind of a tip off, yeah. Yes. Yes, they do. They get very upset, very angry. They truly do. And consequently, they don't know what to do because they're frustrated. Generally speaking, there's a couple of things that happen. Number one, you feel almost instant relief. Number two, very often they come back in a dream. And they will tell you that they're okay and they look healthy and happy and all of that. Now, if they start coming to you in dreams and they don't look all right and they're not okay, they're earthbound. They're stuck. Yeah. Yeah.
I just had a revelation. Well, when I first came to see you, we decided that my father was attached to me. And I used to dream about it, and every time I dream about it, he'd still be so sick, and I'd still be trying to help him, and it was so frustrating. And ever since we released,
yeah, that's because he's all right.
Good, yeah. I just realized that.
Really?
Yeah, that, because I'm not dreaming about it. Because I was, where's Daddy? You know? Mm-hmm. Wish he'd come see me, but he's busy, I think.
Or if Carol prays for me, I might come to her right then.
Sometimes that happens. Yeah. Can you ask the, you can do the prayer for them.
Are you wanting your dreams to go away? Is that what
you're saying? Well,
I'm not sure what she's at. What are you asking?
Well, my ex-husband, but, you know, someone do not want to.
Oh.
You have these dreams, this person is going to come back and bring you back and put together. Like, it's just, it's always in your dreams.
The best thing you can do is ask that that be taken away. Ask for divine spirits to take those dreams away. And if they come back into your dream, if you can program yourself, tell them, no, leave. Because a lot of times they're programmed, they're trying to reach you psychically. And another thing you can do is you can visualize them, like before you go to bed at night, visualize them, and then slamming a heavy metal garage door between you and them. That should stop them. No. They bind themselves. Sometimes it's through material possessions, attachments to people, attachments to homes, attachments to jewelry, to furniture, to cars, to all sorts of things. Some of them are like alcoholics or druggies, and so they will want to attach to someone who's also an alcoholic or a druggie so they can continue to get their fix. We get bound in materialistically.
Same
Yeah. Yeah, it's very important that you stay detached. If you get too much attachment to something or someone, it is not healthy. Spiritually. Yeah, and also
emotionally.
Yeah, and all of.
Is that why you continue to have them repeated in your life?
Yes. Can be. Unfinished business. Absolutely.
Can we get more into the about
like,
different types of dreams?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anything else? I know. It's okay. I already know. Go ahead. Everything. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
But things can change.
Yes. That's the beauty of...
So you're saying, are we predetermined?
Somewhat, yeah. It's not
then,
like
then,
it's.
We have our choices now. Are we? How are other choices make?
When you make a choice, you open up a timeline. It's like your choice is a nexus, a place of a nexus, and off that nexus are all these little timelines. Okay, so you make a major choice here, it opens up a timeline here, and along that timeline, there are certain things that have been destined on that particular timeline till you come up to another nexus. And at that point, you can go off in a different timeline. If you make a good choice on this timeline, I mean, on this nexus, the timeline that opens up is usually a pretty good one. Things start falling into place, and you get kind of off your path, and you come to this next nexus, and you make a bad choice, it sends you up on a bad timeline. And all those have synchronicities. And there's not, it's not like you have a specific time frame. It's according to your choices and your decisions.
So is it positive thought that creates good timeline?
Sure. But you're here for lessons. Because it's midlife crisis.
I mean, it's, well, no, what I'm saying is, is it that we're coming to that next major decision that we're needing to make? I mean, is that why? Is it?
You go through. The Buddhists really have it down on those. You don't even come into adulthood till you hit the age of 35. Yeah. And then you start freaking out around 35 to 47, and that's when you hit this crisis point of, oh my God, I'm adult. I can't play anymore. My youth is over with. Oh my God, my hormones. I've got to take advantage of my hormones now. Okay? And you're revved up. Yeah, you're freaking out because you have just now left your childhood. Okay? So, for women, it runs between the ages of 35 and about 47. For men, it hits around the age of 40, and then it hits again big time age 50. Never. No. Well, it doesn't end with us either. We are run by hormones. Sorry, but we are.
Well, at age 35, that's about not as much anymore as what it used to be, but that's about the end of the childbearing years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're entering a different phase in your life.
You are. You really, really are. And you have more experiences to draw from to hopefully make better decisions with.
I always thought it was a bunch of crap personally until I started seeing all my friends and myself starting to go through this. And it's just like, it's rather crazy.
Well, you start hitting that crisis where your hormones get revved up for like one last shot at it, okay? And then they begin to decrease. And it drives you completely nuts. Now, not everybody goes through it, some more than others.
Right.
It depends upon, you know, your personality traits, who you are, your probably DNA, RNA, your genetics. But it goes, it's there. And it also deals with how, if you're grounded, if you're spiritually grounded or not, how far it can take you out there. Yeah, the dark side can use it against you big time. Big time. You bet. That's a great time frame.
Good time for a break, girl.
Good time for a break. Any last minute questions before we break? I got jumped on because I was supposed to be jumped on.
Just to help the man out.
And to help me out. Whenever it's allowed for them to come through and take me over.
And who makes that allowance? Is that a word? Who allows that?
Allowance.
Who makes that?
Guides.
They do.
Me, Band of Mercy, whomever. I had a situation where I didn't have any real help. And these two ladies came in to see me, and it was about the murder of their mother and father, which was a really horrific murder. And their father took me over completely, and an hour later I woke up, and I had one on the floor here, one on the floor there. And apparently their brother, who had committed suicide after he had murdered the father and mother, he didn't commit suicide, I'm sorry. The father had come through me and told them that their brother had killed them. That's what it was. Yeah, they were freaked, a little freaked. But it was allowed. I had a murder case in Denton, Texas, where the police took me to this location, and this girl had been shot in the shoulder, and I was in the car with him, and all of a sudden she took me over, and I screamed, I've been shot in the shoulder. And she took him step by step, exactly what happened to her, where the guy took her body, what he said to her, what was going on when he moved her, how he moved her, throwing her jacket up in a tree limb, which they found the jacket in the tree limb, step by step by step. But it was proof to them. And it was proof to me. And ended up being proof nationwide and worldwide after they got done putting it on a show. So it is allowed for a reason. I do a lot of mediumship, and it doesn't really happen that often that they take me over. But when it does, it's for a good reason.
It's not like the darkness.
No. Oh, yeah, they're way coming through me. I hope not. Yeah, taking care of business. Yeah, and Carol's here, and I send them to go get Carol so she can get them into the light. Usually, before they start coming in, I start feeling them. Sometimes I have time, sometimes I don't. Carol, how do you deal with it?
So you can do that without their permission because they're on property.
Yeah. Carol, get them off of me now. It can be really uncomfortable, depending upon how they died. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not a fun thing. I don't like that. And I will feel every aspect of what they feel. Oh, yeah, I feel the pain. Yeah.
You can see it on her, too.
Oh, when it happens?
Yeah, you can see her. You can kind of lose color. And with my experience with you, you kind of went white. And it was like, it was, you could just see that you were in excruciating pain.
Yeah, I don't like that. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Which is sometimes good and sometimes not good. Yeah. Any last minute questions before we take break? Okay, then we'll take a break. I'll pass the basket.